So today, being the transcendental appearance day of Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivrajak Acharya Asatoti Asata Sisima Abhayacharya Namavinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada is an occasion which is dear to all of us, because somehow or other all of us have become very much inspired by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was the perfect acharya. In the Vaya Purana, we find a definition of what an acharya is, and I'll read it to you. One who knows the import of all Vedic literatures, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. He is an acharya, a teacher by example. And Srila Prabhupada perfectly embodies these conditions. He was a perfect acharya. The acharya is delivering the message of the sampradaya, of the parampara, of the disciplic succession. Evam para pratam imam rajarsyo vidu. He is delivering the same message that originates in Krishna. He's not fabricating his own, but rather he is, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, like the postman, who simply delivers the message or delivers the parcel. Sometimes we're speaking like that, how the spiritual master is delivering, like a postman is delivering a package. An important point is that it is then up to us to open that package. Prabhupada gave all the transcendental knowledge, but we must open it, and actually we must begin to take all these things and practice them and grow within. So just to walk around and exclaim Jai Prabhupada, Jai, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada is not enough. We may glorify Prabhupada, but truly the message that Prabhupada gave is very involved. What Prabhupada gave us is actually a total revolution. It is described like that. A total revolution. Complete. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it is a 180 degree revolution. 100% complete. 180 degree. There is no such thing as this, a partial adjustment. Everything material has to go. Nothing can stay. Everything has to change and just turned around and has to be changed for spiritual life. However, it is not that that revolution has to be done in one moment. No, of course, if we can, then Prabhupada would be most pleased. That would be the best, if we could just do it like that. Right? But Prabhupada displayed great patience. This is the quality of the acharya. That the acharya is, he knows very well. He knows very well how difficult it is to give up material life. Because the acharya understands the nature of attachment. It is said that it is the very nature of the living being to be attached. We're always attached. Maya shakta manaparta yoga yunyam. Manaparta, that therefore it is recommended that we should be attached to Krishna. But we can consider this example, that the attachment of a child, right, may be to what we consider insignificant things, you know, a little toy, right? But it means a lot. When I was a child, I had a little golden toy jaguar. You know, little golden, sorry, it was a golden one, right? So I was very proud of it, you know, because no kid had a golden one in those days, right? So it was pretty good. And then one day I lost it in the sand pit, which was a big drama, And I dug up the whole sand pit. 3 hours, you know. Sifted through it. It came to black earth. Still didn't find it. It was a real disaster. Anyhow, so the attachment was of the same intensity that I later displayed for my real car, you know. My car, you know, don't touch at my car. So there was the same mood, the same intensity. So in the same way, the conditioned soul has very strong attachment. So the transcendental acharya understands very well. And therefore, he's not condemning, he's not kind of spitting and saying, oh, they're all in Maya. He understands. He understands that it may take some time to give up the material attachments. And he is patient, of course. Mind you, that implies that we'll have to stay in the material world a little longer. Therefore, the Acharya also desires that everyone urgently takes to Krishna consciousness and gives up sinful activities. We must give up sinful activities. Unfortunately, in the course of our sojourn in the material world, or our stay in the material world, we have also become attached to sinful activities. And therefore, Prabhupada stressed again and again to anyone and everyone, four regulative principles. But how is this a message for everyone? Isn't that for monks? Isn't that for some exceptional people? I mean, who can follow that? It's not practical. It's not realistic. We're not like that, you know. I mean, we are what we are, and we are just not that we can follow these four regulative principles. But Prabhupada always preached them. Why? Because it means sinless life. Without these four regulative principles, we are caught up in sin. And that is the case. Now we can say, yes, I understand, I appreciate, or we can say, Donnerwetter, was ist los? Yeah? There are different approaches. Right? But the point remains the same, that unless one comes to that platform, one is sinful. I can say, yes, I can give all the psychological support. You know, yes, I understand, it's a trauma. Yes, I understand, it goes deep. It's maybe from the last life. Yes, I understand, for seven lives we've been struggling. But ultimately, the facts cannot be changed. That the four regulative principles mean sinless life. So Prabhupada stood up for that. At all times, all throughout his preaching in the Western world, he did not ever compromise. So I thought that I should discuss a few of Srila Prabhupada's qualities and then illustrate them by some of his pastimes or his activities, so that we get an idea of Prabhupada. Of course, there are unlimited qualities and stories, and I will not cover them all. I'll just take a few, and then later on there will be so much more discussion. So, some years ago in Vrindavan, when I was the temple president, we had a discussion at that time about Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi. And behind Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi, on the wall, there was a lot of empty space, and the idea was to put like two panels there, paintings depicting Prabhupada's life, or something essential of Prabhupada. So there was a big discussion and so many ideas, you know. And finally, one devotee, it was Preetu Prabhu, who was there also, he said, we should have the two panels, and one panel should be should be depicting the verse Yara Deke Tara Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amra Gyaya Hori Tara Edesh. He says, because that is Prabhupada's motto. And when he said that, I thought he's right. That was Prabhupada's motto. That's very nice, actually. Whomever you meet, tell him about the instructions of Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada always did. So that's really like Prabhupada. If there's any verse that embodies Prabhupada, then it is Yara Dekitara Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Whomever you meet, you preach to that person about Krishna. Now, before Prabhupada even, we thought that that was something theoretical. We thought it wasn't possible. We thought it couldn't be done. And we still think it can't be done. We think like, well, you know, you can't preach to everybody. But Prabhupada could. He did. And in that way, and then he said the other panel should be Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That should be that Krishna, to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is also very nice, because that was Prabhupada's mission, to somehow or other establish Krishna everywhere as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, as many good ideas, they went on the shelf, and those panels never manifested, because there was no more money, so that was the end of the whole discussion. There were some quick paintings made of something else. But still, it was a good idea. Yare deke sarika, whomever we meet, preach Krishna consciousness. And Krishna, Subhadavan Swaya. So, Srila Prabhupada was the perfect acharya, the teacher by example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known by the verse, Apani Achari Jivisikaila Bhakti, which means that by his own behavior, he was teaching everyone devotional service. That is the nature of Krishna when he appears, and also his pure devotees. So Prabhupada also did that. He was in that way the perfect example. His whole life is just an example of teaching on every occasion. Some time ago, we had a seminar in Radhesh, and there I gave out a questionnaire, and in the questionnaire there was one question, which do you find the most attractive quality in Srila Prabhupada? I must say, when I read the answers, I got feedback of about 50 people. And when I read the answers, I was surprised, because there was a very large percentage of the devotees who wrote the most outstanding quality of Srila Prabhupada that we find is his gravity. Yeah? And that is interesting. You know, you would think so many other qualities. I could have thought that they would have written other things, but they wrote no. Many devotees wrote his gravity. And so I thought I'd begin to speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada's gravity. Srila Prabhupada, there is that famous picture that Prabhupada printed on the first handbill that he took with him from India, where he looks like this, very serious. And Yadurani, who was an artist, commented and said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you must have been very sad here." I said, "No, this is my greatest moment of ecstasy." So, yes, Prabhupada's gravity, it meant no deviation. It meant that Prabhupada was very, very careful to just present it as it is. He said in one letter, he said, "Why did this wonderful thing happen to me? There were so many of my godbrothers who were very qualified. Some were more learned than me, some were more qualified in so many ways. But why did this wonderful thing happen to me?" Prabhupada wrote. And he said, "Because I very carefully followed the order of my spiritual master." So in this way, that was Prabhupada's gravity, that he was very, very fixed on the order of his spiritual master, and to present Krishna consciousness unaltered, undeviated, that without any compromise, as it is, not catering to the audience. In the New York of 1966, in the middle of young people who were protesting against the war of Vietnam, Prabhupada explained the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna told Arjuna he had to go to war, which was not a very popular message. But Prabhupada was ready. Yes, he was ready. No deviation, no compromise, as it is. It is sometimes said that the guru is heavy. Right? He's very heavy. So what does this mean, that he's heavy? No, it doesn't mean that. It means the reason heavy means that the guru is heavy because he cannot be shifted from his position. You cannot move him. Right? His position is the same. No matter how much you push, no matter how much you try, he's heavy because he doesn't move. He's in the same position, doesn't it? Not today one philosophy, tomorrow another one. No, he never changes. He is fixed. That's why he's heavy. So Prabhupada was the most heavy. Right? In all respects, of course. Right? Because when Prabhupada was angry, everyone was trying to hide. Right? He was also heavy like that. In Amsterdam, Prabhupada was heavy during the installation of the deities because there was a lot of confusion there. And somehow or other, what had happened, one devotee was in charge of making an altar for Lord Jagannath, and the other one was in charge of making Lord Jagannath. So they had a plan, and to make Lord Jagannath a certain size, and the altar had been designed accordingly. But then when the devotee went to the place where they sold the wood, there was a big block standing there. And he's saying, oh, this is sent by Krishna. This is it, Daru Brahman. Daru Brahman, Jagannath manifesting in a wooden form. This is it. The Lord wants to be carved from this block. Yes, it has come. I have to take it. And he forgot to tell the person who made the altar that the deities had become a little bigger. So on the day of the installation, they found out. Yeah? So there was a lot of hammering and sawing on the altar, a lot of noise. And the TV was there all along, and nothing was right. When the yajna was supposed to be performed, there were no fruits, and Prabhupada was getting more and more angry. He was getting very angry. And this was in Amsterdam in the 60s, the headquarters of Flower Power. You know, the Maharishi Yogi had just been there, and everything was bliss. And then here was the guru of the Hare Krishna movement, and he was angry. And the TV was there. And Prabhupada was not like smiling at everyone, for the cameras. No, he was extraordinarily angry. It stayed like that because when he asked for the fruits, they never came for the yajna. And finally, after a long time, after asking many times, some Mataji came and brought some fruit salad, which made him even more angry. So, and then, at the end of it all, there was one boy who raised his hand, and God said yes. And this boy, he was a new bhakti, and he said, why are you so angry? He said, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada looked, yes. And he started to chant Hare Krishna. So, like this, so many wonderful qualities we are seeing in Srila Prabhupada. Another aspect of gravity, we find also described in the Nectar of Devotion, where we find a description of a devotee that it says there are two types of devotees. One type of devotee has a golden heart, and the other type of devotee has a heart which is like a little feather. Right? So, you know, when there is a little breeze, the feather immediately starts to move, right? So immediately all the emotions come out, and the other devotee with the golden heart is very grave. Right? So Prabhupada definitely had that kind of a mood. It says, though, in the Nectar of Devotion that it doesn't matter whether you have a feather heart or a golden heart. Both hearts are all right. And in the end, these hearts, they melt anyway and become liquid. And sometimes Prabhupada's heart indeed melted when he chanted Jaya Radha Madhava, and he could not continue. And when a tear came in his eye, which was as brilliant as a diamond, it was shining like a diamond. And like Prabhupada, everyone had seen it. Devotees all spoke about it, that did you see that diamond? It was a diamond. Prabhupada had a diamond in his eye. It was not ordinary. So Prabhupada's gravity was a gravity of deep meditation on Krishna. So I want to share a few qualities and then come to some conclusions. I want to also show that Srila Prabhupada had the quality of integrity. I decided to speak in English because it's more free like that. Integrity, he also has, as shown in so many ways, but one time in Japan, there was a famous program in a place called Kobe. And Prabhupada went there with an assembly of devotees, and there was one gentleman. He had this program organized where Prabhupada was supposed to speak, and also one Mayavadi sannyasi from India was also supposed to speak. So, and this man was very favorable. He was speaking about giving an entire building, many stories high, to the devotees for a temple in Kobe. So the devotees are very exciting. This man is like one our biggest donor, you know. He's like, and Prabhupada will come, and then he will just melt, and we will have a temple in Kobe, and everything will be wonderful. But when Prabhupada came, well, before the owner of or the organizer of the program had a big Vyasasan on the stage for his own guru with a picture of his guru. So the devotee said, oh, Prabhupada has to sit on that one. That was a big discussion, but finally the man agreed, all right. Said, but then both the speakers should sit on there, the other Swami should also sit on there. Yeah? So the program began, and Prabhupada spoke first and sat on the Vyasasan. And then Prabhupada was finished speaking, and then the organizer came and invited Prabhupada to get down of this Vyasasan. And he just didn't get down. And then the Mayavadi sannyasi, he came, he stood there, and Prabhupada smiled. Yes. And finally, they had to bring a very small asana for the Saraswami. And he was sitting there, and Prabhupada was sitting there. So the Mayavadi sannyasi began to speak, and after about 5 minutes, Prabhupada's face became more and more disturbed. You could see he was getting disturbed. The lecture was in Hindi, by the way. So no one understood, but you could see that Prabhupada didn't like it. And at one point, Prabhupada said, Kirtan, Kirtan, and all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? And, well, you can, of course, understand that that was the end of the big donor. He never got the building. And Prabhupada didn't care. He didn't care to lose the building. He was not going to compromise just to flatter some wealthy man. Yet Kaleo, Tanadur, Madamdan, why flatter a wealthy man, right? Krishna is unlimited wealthy. If he wants, he can send. There was no way. He said, no, this man. So at first, it was not so bad when he spoke. But then he started to speak. He'd say that the absolute truth is impersonal. It was intolerable. And Prabhupada just charged. Right. So, like that, Prabhupada would just uphold his faithfulness to Krishna and not considering the mundane gain or loss. In this way, displayed the ultimate integrity. Prabhupada Another quality of Prabhupada is that he always saw Krishna. There is a verse which says, Stavara jangama deke, na deke taramuti, sarvatra haya nicha ista deva spurti, which means that a pure devotee of the Lord, wherever he looks, he doesn't see the form of things, he just sees Krishna everywhere. And Prabhupada saw like that, because he saw everything in relation to Krishna. Again, in Amsterdam, when he came on Dam Square, there is Hotel Krasnapolsky. And when Prabhupada saw Krasnapolsky, he said, oh, Hotel Krishnapolsky. I want to stay there. He didn't stay there, but he gave a lecture there. He gave a lecture in Hotel Krishnapolsky. So, yes, it is Hotel Krishnapolsky. When Prabhupada somewhere else, he saw another neon sign somewhere. Oh, Chintamani. It said something else, but he read Chintamani, which is the substance of the spiritual world. So, Vadinarayan Prabhu, he also noticed something on this in some Vyasa Puja offering, and I liked that. It was about different advertisements. You know, we are always going around the cities and we are bombarded with these big signs advertising different things to us, right, everywhere. So, well, Prabhupada also saw them, just like everybody else. And when Prabhupada was in the Boston Harbor, there was a sign which said, unalloyed steel. Unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, this is ours. Unalloyed.
Yes.
One should not water down or compromise this philosophy. So Prabhupada saw actually that the real thing that was unalloyed was not the steel. The real thing that was unalloyed is pure Krishna consciousness. That is the only thing that is not mixed. Unalloyed means not mixed. The only thing that is not mixed is pure Krishna consciousness. Therefore it is ours. Yeah? This is ours. They've taken it from us. Our slogan. And he went on like that. And then he noted that there was an advertisement of a paint company. And there was a globe, whole planet Earth, and a big hand with a paint can, which was turning it upside down. And the paint was splashing over the Earth. And it said, we cover the world. Prabhupada said, that's ours. That's ours. That's our motto. That is Lord Chaitanya's movement. And like that, it is. It is. And Prabhupada saw an insurance company. It had also an advertisement of... it was two hands sheltering a house. And a family. So the house and the family were there, and these two hands were kind of sheltering that house. And it read, you are in good hands with Allstate. That was the name of the insurance company. And Prabhupada said, this is Krishna. Yes, you are in good hands with Krishna. So in this way, Prabhupada everywhere saw Krishna. Right? Everywhere. We would not have seen. We would have said, oh, look at all this Maya. If we are going, we see all these advertisements, we are thinking, oh, look at all this Maya. Everywhere, so much Maya, terrible. Oh, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga. You know how the devotees can go on and on and on about that. So much Kali Yuga. But no, Prabhupada saw everywhere Krishna, everywhere, in all these things. So Bharinarayan was saying that as he was contemplating to write this Vyasa Puja, he himself also saw a sign. And the sign read, a bargain at any price. Huh? He said, yes, this is what Prabhupada gave us. Huh? A bargain at any price. The cheapest. Yeah? Ausverkauf. Yeah? Huh? Prabhupada, he just gave the Ausverkauf. Yeah? We were not at all qualified to get bhakti. Yet. No way, we had other things to do. I mean, I could give a long list of what I was trying to do. And bhakti was not on my agenda at all. Spiritual life, yes. Being a big transcendentalist, yes. But giving up sense gratification, no. I was going to have the best of both worlds. That was my plan, and I did quite good in that regard. No problems at all. Everything was fine. And I didn't understand why these Hare Krishnas were trying to tell me I had problems. I thought I didn't. But that was the problem. Anyhow, so like that, we saw Prabhupada, saw Krishna everywhere. So a few more qualities of Prabhupada I would like to share with you. Just recently, I came now from New Mayapur in France. She was also there. And it was very nice, the festival of Lord Balaram, the only deities of Lord Balaram in Europe. Yeah, yes. So you should sometimes go to New Mayapur. It's not so far, actually. How far?
600.
That's nothing. Nothing. You just off the outer bound. Complete, man. So, yeah. So you should go for darshan of Lord Balaram, because in that way, Balaram is the giver of spiritual strength. So it's very important. So Krishna gives the instructions, he gives the sword of knowledge, and Balaram gives the strength to lift it. Yeah, so we need Lord Balaram. So we should not. So all these places, all over Europe, we have these places of pilgrimage. Balaram in Frankreich, in Nrsinga Kshetra, we have the only Nrsinga deity in Europe. These are holy places. In India, people, they go to deserts for one deity. They climb on mountains, on foot, right? In Tirupati, they walk up the steps of the mountain. In Nathdwar, they go deep into the desert of Rajasthan. You see that desert. You go for that drive. My God, what a drive. But they go, so we should also go to get the blessings. Anyway, I was there, and I stayed in the room of Parambiti Maharaj, who has a very nice room there. And in his room, he has that famous photo of Prabhupada, which was taken when he was in Gujarat. And in Gujarat, Prabhupada was received by a local king of some little district, you know, small little king. But this king, he had a big silver throne. And Prabhupada was placed on this huge silver throne, right? A big monster of a throne, right? Really like what we would call a monster of a throne, right? A big, big, heavy throne, you know, like something too big almost for a human being to sit on. Huh? Something like that it was. And Prabhupada, he sat on this throne because he was asked to sit on this throne. And the photo that is hanging in the room there shows Prabhupada with a face like sitting on that throne. Some expression like that. Very, very humble. Almost apologetic, like, sorry, you know, that I'm sitting on this stone. I know it's a monster, but what can I do? I have to do it. It is my duty, right? As a spiritual master, I must accept. I must accept on behalf of Krishna. So here I am. Don't mind, please. I'm only doing it on behalf of Krishna, really. Not for myself. Right? So much. All that is so much there in the expression of his face. You cannot miss it. Eh? If you see that photo, you cannot miss it to understand all that which I just said. That it is clear that Prabhupada's expression is explaining that. Yes, I'm doing this only on behalf of Krishna. So, this for me, always, this picture actually is not just on the wall of Parambiti Maharaj's room, but it has been in my mind for many, many years as a symbol of Prabhupada's humility. Right? And when I see that picture, I'm thinking, yes, Prabhupada is so, so humble, so wonderfully humble. Another quality in Prabhupada that I would like to outline is his quality of forgiveness or mercy. There is a story that at one point in the early days of ISKCON, one of Prabhupada's leading disciples became in charge in India, and he became the GBC for the Calcutta, for Bengal, for a particular area in Bengal, whatever it was. Now, during that time, he had some difficulties in his spiritual life, and at one point, he was smoking the old marijuana. right? He started to smoke again, some dope. So Prabhupada heard the news. There was some complaints. They rang up from Calcutta. That this is going on. He's doing this. How is it possible? He's in charge. How can he do all this? What are we going to do? So Prabhupada told his secretary. He said, tell him that if he doesn't stop, that I will reject him. So Prabhupada is getting very heavy now. Very heavy. He says he will reject him. Right? And Prabhupada said again, yes, tell him that I will reject him. So the secretary told over the phone that he would reject him. So Tamal Krishnamurti was there in the room. And Tamal Krishnamurti, after the phone call, asked Prabhupada, and said, Prabhupada, would you really reject him? And Prabhupada said, of course not. How could I do that? He said, Lord Nityananda is most merciful. He's most merciful. How could I reject him? I'm just saying like that. So, like that, Prabhupada was very merciful, very forgiving. And as he said, he was prepared. He was prepared to go to hell, right, for delivering his disciples. And it is, as he said, the spiritual master suffers for the sinful activities of his disciples. Therefore, one must be very careful not to commit any sinful activities, because the spiritual master will actually suffer. Srila Prabhupada was also very dear to everyone. It is said about the six Goswamis, dhira dhira priyajana priyakaro, that they were dear to both the gentle and the ruffians. So Prabhupada also was very dear to everyone. And Giriraj Maharaj describes in his book Watering the Seed what happened when his parents came. His parents tried to convince Prabhupada. They met Prabhupada in India, and their son was there, and they were trying to convince their Prabhupada to let their son go with them back to America. And Prabhupada said, well, it depends on him. If he wants to go, he can go. He said, no, I want to stay. I don't want to go. Anyway, his mother was saying, yes, but I'm very worried that my son is staying here in India in such a bad climate. It will be bad for his health. I'm very worried about that. So Prabhupada didn't seem to pay attention to it, but instead said, please bring some sandesh. And he said, you must take some prasad. You must take some sweet. And the mother didn't want to take, but Prabhupada said again, You please take. You please. It is very nice. You will like it. You take. Very healthy also. Yes, it's very nice. You take. So finally, she took it. And then Prabhupada said, yes. She said, oh, this is very nice. Prabhupada said, yes, this is made of pure cheese. He said, it's full of protein. It is very healthy. And I will make sure that your son every day will get many of these sweets. And then he will be very healthy. So, this way. She was tricked, And so afterwards, Giriraj's father said, your Prabhupada, right? He is really expert. He really knows how to deal with people. He really knows. And he's very intelligent. And then Prabhupada's secretary was there. And Prabhupada's secretary said, oh, Prabhupada, he said, it's so amazing. Everybody likes you so much. And Prabhupada said, yes, because I like everybody. So, yes, in this way, Prabhupada was very nice. He was truly non-envious, right? Really non-envious. Prabhupada's definition of envious was a little different than the one we were used to. We used to think that envious was that you're looking at the Mercedes of your neighbor and you're thinking, why does this fat guy have such a fat Mercedes? Why not me? Would be much more suitable for me. we thought that envious meant that, right? But no, Prabhupada pointed out that envious also meant that we were not giving someone else the room to exist, not someone else the room to progress, right, in spiritual life. Yes. Never, we must tolerate and let someone be. We sometimes are wanting devotees to be stereotypes. Right? We want everyone to fit in the mold and to be a model person and to march in the Hare Krishna army. But this is very difficult, right? Because it oppresses us and suppresses us, and then after some years we get the traumas and we break out, and then we go to all that, right? And then we have to again grow mustaches and beards and all that, that which we gave up long ago. So that we are a movement of individuals. Sometimes you see a picture of Thailand Buddhists, and you see 50 Buddhists, all copies of each other, like clones, you know. They all look exactly the same. Same turban, same color, everything, right? Same dhoti. Everything the same. So someone said, oh, why can't we have this in ISKCON? We can never have this in ISKCON. We will never have this in ISKCON, right? No way, you know. Even when we'll have this in ISKCON, I will be sure that there will be some of us who will purposely dress up in the most outlandish outfits. I will be one of them. I will put on something really far out just to be different, right? Because we are a personal movement, right? We are a personal movement. We are a movement where there is room for individual expression. And non-envious means that we recognize that principle and accept people as they are, right? And therefore one must be a little tolerant, you know, because people sometimes have certain qualities, you know, like some people, they dance when they walk, and other people walk like elephants. And, you know, you don't have to tolerate the noise when the elephant walks by. And what can be done? So like that, tolerance is required in a non-envious person. But Prabhupada, he liked everybody. Well, like that, I went through some of Srila Prabhupada's qualities, and I could go on much longer, but time is also a factor. Because today, there is also organization, and we're following a schedule, so I'm going to kind of hold on to that. Prabhupada was very organized. He was a great organizer, and everyone in 1966, when in the middle of one lecture, Prabhupada asked this Mr. Kalman, some lawyer, to stand up, who had some papers that needed to be signed to start the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? A society. Everyone was surprised. What is this that Swamiji is doing now? I mean, we didn't really need this, right? What do we need this for, right? Nobody really thought they needed all that organization and such a structure, etc. The devotees were wondering, what's all this about? But anyway, they were asked to sign, and Prabhupada wanted it, so they signed. Now, after so many years, still many devotees are wondering, do we really need all this organization? I mean, do we really want such a big organized mission like Prabhupada wanted? I mean, is this really what we want? Is this really what we need? Shouldn't we just try and live a good life in Krishna consciousness? But Prabhupada was such an organizer. Right? He was a wonderful organizer to distribute the maximum amount of mercy all over the world, especially in the form of his books. Prabhupada stressed that so much, book distribution, so I must also stress it. And my argument about book distribution is that we should know that in this day and age, we have machines that can cut a whole forest down in a matter of minutes, right? And then we have other machines that can turn all that wood into paper, just like that. And then we have machines that can turn all those paper into books, and all we have to do is pick up a telephone, ring up someone, say, can we have 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas? And 1 week later, they will be delivered. Right? It will not always be like that. That's for sure. Right? I mean, it will not always be like that, that it will be so easy to get 100,000 Bhagavad Gitas, and it will also not always be so easy to transport them all around in different places, right? Therefore, it will not always be so easy to distribute so many books. So therefore, it is not that it is based on the principle of, are you fired up? Are you fired up? Yep. Are you fired up? No, I'm not at all fired up. But anyway, I'm going to try. We're going to do it, it's not on the strength of passion, but it is on the strength of that understanding that now is the unique time where this opportunity is there to put these books out there. Later on, when it will not be possible anymore, we'll find them everywhere. So, you know, it's actually to our own benefit, right? Yeah, in the future, if when we've lost our own nice set of books, when the world goes upside down, then you'll find some books there, or otherwise the next generations will find. So anyway, so it is very important time. Yes, I had one quality of Prabhupada which I also wanted to stress is the human quality of Prabhupada, because for me that is a big argument, right? And it's very that makes him someone I can follow. Yeah. If Prabhupada wasn't human, I don't think I would be in this movement. And I think it would be too much for me, because I am definitely human for the time being. At the moment, definitely conditioned that I feel like being, I am human, and it has to be human, otherwise it's too much for me. It has to have a heart, it has to consider just a genuine human nature. Like, you know, someone recently, I just met a devotee who lost his daughter some years ago in a sad way, and he said, you know, I was very sad about that. And devotees were saying, oh, come on, you know, don't be so attached, this, that. And he said, I felt bad. But then when I heard that Arjuna was very upset about Abhimanyu, and Prabhupada said that, oh, yes, of course, that is natural. He said, then I felt so good. And the Prabhupada is this human aspect in him. Yes, it is true. Another aspect of Prabhupada's human nature is that he liked Charlie Chaplin. You know, I mean, you're not human if you don't like Charlie Chaplin, you know. You're a zombie, right? You have to, it's like that. Everybody likes Charlie Chaplin. And our founder, Acharya, also likes Charlie Chaplin. And that is wonderful. That is just, that makes him wonderful, isn't it? It's like, that makes him human, and of course the story of that he told Mukunda when going to England to preach about the dancing group with the tail coats, you know, the coats of Tukir, and then how Charlie's coat ripped up to in the back while dancing, the Charleston, of course. You know. And then he went into the bathroom and looked and saw it was ripped, and he ripped it up to the collar. And then he went back to dance Charleston and all the flapping tails, etc. And it says, and everyone went after that went to the bathroom and ripped their coats. And Prabhupada said to Mukunda, that's how you will spread Krishna consciousness. And we're seeing it happening now. People have seekers everywhere, right? Neck beads are becoming fashion. Some people have three seekers, you know. Before, you had to share so much. Nowadays, only say, no, not three, only one, okay? And in the right place. Anyway, so like that. Very nice. I have a few more points, almost finished.
Please take time, it is very
relishable. It's almost, but I am almost finished now. I want to hear us. But I have a few, I try to just share some qualities of Srila Prabhupada, and indeed for myself relish it a little bit, you know, as a meditation, share like that. So relishing was indeed my attempt. But I got a little more serious when I said that Prabhupada was the organizer of a worldwide movement. That is more like an aspect where we see now Prabhupada carrying the mission and being his presence in the world, right, and his purpose being fulfilled. So another very, very important aspect of Prabhupada is that Prabhupada is the living proof, right? The living proof of Krishna consciousness. When on dark nights, when doubts appear, right? And even continue to flow over into the days, and when gradually doubts cover everything, we wonder, does Krishna really exist? How do I know? Right? Yes. How do I know it's all true? Right? Did I actually see Krishna? No. I had dreams about Krishna, yes, but how do I know they were true? Maybe they were just dreams. Yes. How do I know that chanting really works, etc.? When you fall in that whirlpool and you go down and down and down and down and down and down, right? Then you know. Then you know. No. Prabhupada is the living proof. Right? There is no doubt about it. It is all true because Prabhupada showed it. Right? He showed it. Right? He showed it by his inconceivable happiness. Right? I mean, he was totally dedicated to Krishna consistently in all situations, and he wasn't sour. He wasn't austere. He was happy. It made him perfectly happy. So that is the ultimate proof. Now, I know that people say, well, but that is not real proof. We want something more scientific. I'll give you that also. I'll give you that also. We found in the book of Vedavyas, right? About Hare Krishna in Germany, actually, where it is described that they were taking photos of Prabhupada, and that they were taking all these photos with the flesh, you know, just like... our Vaidyanath Prabhu is always ready with, you know, camera. So many others are there with their cameras. And yesterday, we've seen so many cameras. And then Prabhupada also was always facing these cameras. And then sometimes you get all these flashes, you know, flash, 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 flash. So Prabhupada was at one point saying, no more balls, you know, no more balls, because you see every time a light ball in front of your eye, right? So he said, no more balls now, no more flashing, right? No more balls, stop now. So, you know, the photographer, not easily discouraged, right, decided that, all right, I'll put the camera on a tripod, I'll get a slow film and one of those cords on the camera, you know, like, and then just click like that. But in those days, the cameras were not computerized like now. They were all, you had to do it manually. So you had to manually adjust. And when you have a very light-sensitive film like that, then you have to really be careful to adjust the lens according to the light, and you needed a light meter. So they were checking it with the light meter. And they were measuring with the light meter. So meanwhile, click, 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 looking at the light meter, taking photos, proud sitting on the Vyasa's side. And at one point, the light meter went right, like, right to the top, right? And then I said, wow, did someone turn on a light? No, no one turned on a light. It was Prabhupada. He was effulgent, beaming, right? Now, this is scientific, right? Scientific. So this is hard proof, yeah? Hard proof. It has been recorded, and there is no doubt about it, Prabhupada was really totally transcendental. The living proof. The living proof. Yeah. So, finally, as a last quality, I wanted to state that We should understand that many, many great acharyas came in our sampradaya. And each of them made their own contribution, and none of them is the same. Still, we should point out that amongst all these acharyas, Srila Prabhupada is unique. He's unique. And I want to prove that to you. And we know that yesterday was Krishna Janmashtami. Krishna appears only once in a day of Brahma. Right? There are other incarnations which appear in every cycle of four yugas, but not Krishna. Krishna appears only once in a day of Brahma, in the 28th millennium of the 7th divine yuga. Then it is said that Krishna appears in the Dwapara Yuga at that time. It said that after Krishna, then once in a day of Brahma, appears Lord Chaitanya. He also appears only once in a day of Brahma to perform the Sankirtan mission. And then we see that Lord Chaitanya, it is said, Prithivityacha Yata Nagaradi Gram Sarvada Pachara Vaidemonanam, he'll spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But he didn't do it. He spread it only all over India. He traveled all over India, he spread it everywhere. But he didn't go outside of India. So then, after Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada appeared. And Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness from east to west. Right? And on one occasion, Prabhupada said, he said, now it is too late. It is too late. They cannot stop this movement anymore. It cannot be stopped anymore. No matter what they do, it's done. He said, just like a contagious disease, the infection has taken place. It is established. Krishna consciousness is here to stay. It is done. So that points out that it has been done. Krishna consciousness has been brought from east to west only once in the day of Brahma. It is being done. Only once in the entire day of Brahma. That is done. So amongst all the acharyas, Prabhupada is unique. There's only one who's doing that. That's Prabhupada. Yeah. So sometimes we are waiting for, Prabhupada is not here anymore, and where is the next acharya? You know, we are being bereft of an acharya like Prabhupada. There is no Prabhupada here. What can we do in absence? We will only cry and meanwhile not chant our rounds until some acharya comes again to make us smile so that we can chant again. Something like that. All that, is bogus, excuse me, to say it so strongly. But Prabhupada is unique. It's not meant to be that another Prabhupada comes. There is one Prabhupada. He is our Prabhupada. Right? And he will be the Prabhupada for the next generation. And he will be the Prabhupada for all generations to come in the next 10,000 years. He will be Prabhupada. And there will be no other Prabhupada. And we don't want any other Prabhupada. We want only Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada, right? He's the one, right? He's unique. And he is dear to us. And we want Prabhupada. So, anyway, after all this glorification of Prabhupada, I can only conclude with what Prabhupada said upon hearing glorification from his disciples. And Prabhupada said, when his disciples were glorifying him so much, he said that, you are all glorifying me so much. He said, but actually, when you see some good quality in me, right, he said, you should understand it like this. He said, just as the sun, the light of the sun is reflecting in the moon. And then it looks as if the moon is shining. It looks like the moon is shining, but actually we know the light is coming from the sun. In the same way, if you see some good quality in me, then you must know that it is all the reflection of the good quality of my spiritual life. And in this way, in such an expert way, he gave all the glory to his spiritual master. And first one may think, wow, such a nice thing to say. Then one may think about it and say, well, such a profound thought, actually, because it is true. The glory actually comes all from the spiritual master. So how true also. And then one can think further. And then one can think that actually Parampara begins with Krishna. And that ultimately the spiritual master gets his qualities of Krishna. Samsara dhava nadalivaloka tanayakam ganaganam. The spiritual master is like a rain cloud who pours down the mercy and then extinguishes the burning, blazing forest fire of material existence. So, where does he get the mercy? From the ocean of mercy, Krishna, the unlimited reservoir of mercy. So, oftentimes it is said that how can we be delivered when there is not a guru like Prabhupada? Are we sure that they can deliver their disciples? Yes, because it is not the guru who is delivering disciples. It is not the guru who delivers the disciple. It is Krishna who delivers the disciple. And it is the guru who simply gives Krishna and the process of devotional service to Krishna, to his disciple. And then Krishna will deliver the disciple. Naturally, the guru has to be the perfect via media. He has to be transparent, like a diamond is transparent. Trivikram Maharaj told me, he said, Prabhupada, I never read this, but he told me this story. He said, Prabhupada came down the staircase, and when he came and he stood at the bottom, he made a little pirouette. And he said, my spiritual master made me a diamond. Prabhupada was effulgent to the qualities of Krishna. And therefore, because Krishna is all attractive, he can attract all of us in that way. Prabhupada had the same quality. He became all attractive. That everyone wanted to be with Prabhupada, everyone loves to hear about Prabhupada, even all the fighting fractions, who have different philosophical opinions and are very strong, are ready to accept Prabhupada. Prabhupada is all attractive. Because he reflects the qualities of Krishna, just like a diamond, totally transparent. And therefore, there is no doubt that Prabhupada was the most intimate servant of Lord Chaitanya, who understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya perfectly, who was the instrument of the embodiment of the mind, like the spiritual master is described as the external manifestation of the super soul. Srila Prabhupada was the external manifestation of the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore he perfectly gave the total process of Krishna consciousness from Srada to Prem. Nothing is lacking. Some say that Prabhupada gave only the ABC. No, Prabhupada gave everything in full depth, the perfect path to go back to Godhead. So therefore, I'm very happy that I had the opportunity to speak today, because it's a very inspiring topic. So, thank you very much for granting me so much time. It's a short lecture on the on the poster, but yeah.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Questions would be necessary in proper form, I would think, rather go on with the discussions. Then you have to first ask Guru Babi, because he stands there with the mic.
Okay, we're already a little behind. Maybe you could ask the question privately? Okay, thank you very much. Ganz kurz, das Programm geht jetzt weiter mit Vyasakuja, der schöne Frauenpaar beginnt jetzt. Und Ahura Prabhu wird uns durch den Verlauf begleiten. Es geht damit los, dass zunächst das Vyasakuja-Buch Prabhupada präsentiert wird. Dann werden einige Opferungen verlesen. Und dann findet die Abhishek statt, hier im Tempelraum. Das ist etwas ganz Besonderes, denn jeder kann heute Prabhupada warten. Also etwas ganz Spezielles. Und im Anschluss daran wird die Buga-Opferung stattfinden. Das ist dann wieder hier vorne. Und damit auch etwas Prabhupada gemacht werden kann, wollte ich euch auch dazu einladen, jeder kann heute etwas kochen in der Küche. Also es ist ganz unabhängig von Einweihung, jeder Bhaktan, jeder, der inspiriert ist und über saubere Kleidung verfügt, kann in die Küche kommen und gerne etwas zubereiten. Dann im Anschluss daran gibt es noch eine Maha Arati und dann wieder Push Panjali. Und wann immer das dann sein wird, gibt es ein großes Festessen. Gut, dann gebe ich das jetzt weiter an Akun.
Hare Krishna. Ja, erst einmal möchte ich mich nochmal bei Gajan Bakana Maharaj herzlich bedanken.
Wunderbar.
Für diese tolle Inspiration, also großartig. Besser konnten wir es nicht haben. Und ja, es ist uns eben bewusst geworden, was wir jetzt für den Prabhupada haben. Wieder einmal. Wir müssen uns immer wieder ins Gedächtnis rufen. Und beginnt eben die Zeremonie. Ich denke, dass wir ein Bhajan haben, eine Bhajan-Gruppe, die singt. Und dass zwischendurch Gottgeweihte ihre Opferungen vorlesen können oder frei vortragen. Und dass jemand die